Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. Well, again, good morning. Welcome. Good to have you all here with us this morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. All right. Good. All right. Well, this morning, we're going to go ahead and get started, actually, in the Old Testament, a story about Joseph. And as we start out, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. It says, "This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever." Now, this is a story in the Old Testament, of course, about Joseph. And we can see here right off the bat that Joseph is not liked by his brothers for several reasons. Obviously, he told on them of the bad things they were doing, so they didn't care for that. He had a natural favor with already with his dad being born in their old age. He just seemed to have a special favor that was resting upon Joseph more than the other brothers. And then also, we find out that Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more because of the nature of the dream. And so it's kind of, you see three strikes almost here against Joseph, and they're really not caring for him too much. And we're going to kind of, in a little bit future part of the message here, we'll get into specifically about those dreams. But just kind of in the beginning, I just want you to see, you know, Joseph was, you know, probably a very idealistic, excited young guy, you know, definitely very secure in the love that his father had for him, and also getting dreams, getting stuff from God. And this caused great resentment with his brothers. And one day, while his brothers were out and about, his dad asked Joseph to go ahead and check up on his brothers. And so as he was doing that, he was just kind of wandering around and kind of bumped into a guy who, you know, just asked him what he was doing. And Joseph said, "I'm looking for my brothers," Joseph replied. "Do you know where they are pasturing their sheep?" "Yes," the man told him. "They have moved on from here, but I heard them say, 'Let's go on to Dothan.'" So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said. So we can see here, Joseph, again, not well liked by his brothers, but also had a reputation. He had a reputation of being a dreamer because of the dreams that he had, the dreams that he shared, communicated. And but we can also see, too, that this dreamer had some serious opposition. You know, the scripture tells us in the New Testament, I believe it's in Corinthians, it says those Old Testament stories were written for our admonition as examples for us. So we're encouraged to go back in the Old Testament and look at these stories, look at the patriarchs, matriarchs of old, things that they did, how they walked by faith, as examples for us. And I think, you know, as you look at the life and the story of Joseph, I don't know that there is really, I'll just say this. It's a great example of how to walk out a God-given dream, how to walk out and fulfill a dream that God has put in your heart. You see this optimistic, happy-go-lucky kind of a guy, favored, colorful coat, playing by the book and cheering from God. you know, and he's got these dreams, and you just think, wow, this guy is just kind of this charmed life. You know, everything's just going to go well and fall into place for him. You know, you know, we're just going to see. We're going to see how that looks. Here's a guy who has a reputation for being a dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. Here comes the guy who's got his head full of these big ideas, these big God ideas that he believes that God has put in his heart. And so the title of the message this morning is simply, Here Comes the Dreamer, all right? And when I'm talking about here comes the dreamer, I'm looking at dreamers this morning. I'm looking at me and you. Because Joseph's heart, Joseph's attitude is exactly what our attitude should be. Hearts, minds full of God-given dreams. And how do we do that? How do we walk out, fulfill? We're going to look at a wonderful example that was set for us. We're going to look at some patterns in his life that we can look at this morning as we are going to walk out and fulfill our God-given dream. So here comes the dreamer. That's you this morning. You're the dreamer. You're the one who's bouncing down the road. There's a few things that we find out again in the life and the story of Joseph that helps us as we are going to walk out and fulfill our God-given dreams. First of all, there's a seeing the dream. We'll just call it seeing the dream. There's a birthing. Something happens on the inside. In Genesis chapter 37, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. All right, go on to another one. And then just a little further on down, next verse actually. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So here again, we see some things that Joseph had in his heart. Now, certainly, you can understand from a natural perspective the envy and the things and the frustration of the brothers. And like, while you're getting these dreams, they don't really sound like dreams from God to them. It just sounds like visions of grandeur, you know, that are just coming from himself. But Joseph knows that these things are dreams from God. You know, he knows that there's something bigger, that he didn't think this stuff up. It's not coming from his ego. There's something supernatural here that he's getting from God. Now, even his dad is having a hard time with this, having a hard time believing it, you know, but in the end, ultimately, you know, it's not about convincing them ultimately that he's right. It's him knowing it for himself, what God has said to him, to see something, to know that God has shown me something. Because if God has given you something, there is an anointing on that, there's a grace on that, and he is with you in that. And as we look at Joseph, you know, holding on to that dream, we can kind of bring it down to us, you know, as believers, you know, because God clearly, when we became Christians, did something to us. He didn't just make us born again. He didn't just give us his righteousness and his natures and make us children of God. Praise God, he did all that. Put us in his kingdom. But he did something else. This is Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. New Living says, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. What is Ephesians 2:10 talking about? It's talking about those God dreams. It's talking about those God-ordained purposes that he put on the inside of us. In the same way Joseph had a dream, we as New Testament Christians are also designed to have a dream, as it were, to understand, to see, and to know the good works that he's put on the inside of us, the things he's ordained us to walk into. How does that happen? How do we awaken? How do we get those dreams stirred up in us? Well, God not only puts the dreams in us, but in Philippians we see, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Not in amplified, not in your own strength, for it is God who all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to do for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So as we as believers, you know, begin to see things, dream things, and let's just talk about what is a dream? Obviously, the dream can just be such a full spectrum. It could be, you know, it could be a dream of starting your own business. It could be a dream of, you know, just maybe a lifelong career path or a vocation or something you've always wanted to do, you know, walking that out and being able to do what has been in your heart to do. It could be a person. I remember one time I was just going to work one day, listening to the radio, and this beautiful worship song came on. And as I was listening to the radio, I'm just going to Hardee's to, you know, go to my job, and all of a sudden, as I'm just worshiping God to the song on the radio, I see clearly, like just drop in my spirit, a picture of my best friend just worshiping God. And he didn't know the Lord, but it was so clear and it was so from God, and I just began to worship the Lord and thank him for that. It was just like a picture. Of course, I would have wanted to be saved anyway, just naturally thinking, but this was something God dropped in me, and I saw it. And it was like, wow, praise God. And I remember just having that dream. And all of a sudden, when I looked at him, I never looked at him the same way after that dream. I looked at him according to what I got in my spirit about him that day. And I was just kind of looking through him to that end. And it was just within a few months that summer, I was able to lead him to the Lord. And I remember, you know, sometimes these things happen. And I remember leading him to the Lord and then bringing him to church, and he was in church, and all of a sudden he was just worshiping the Lord. I remember it was like, I can still remember clear the song was, I exalt thee. I exalt thee, O Lord. And he's back in the 80s, and he's just worshiping God, and all of a sudden the Lord just brought to my remembrance that dream, that thing that he dropped in my heart. It's like, wow, that's the picture I saw in my dream before, just a few months before. There are dreams, so when I'm talking dreams that God's put in your heart, good works he's ordained you to walk in, they can be a person. He says to the psalmist, ask me and I'll give you the nations for an inheritance. And that's why you see people have just, it could be a particular nation or it could be something. What is that? That's the spiritual DNA God put in your new creation when you got born again. That's the uniqueness that makes you his workmanship in his own handiwork that makes us different from each other. God gives us different parts of his heart, that together we cover his will on earth as it is in heaven. And there's going to be different things that you just like, wow, why doesn't everybody want this? Because it's so real to you. That's a good sign. God's put something in you that is of his heart and substance that you want. And those are the things. And so when you begin to wonder, what are those things? This is a good way to tell. There's desires. I love that in verse 13, giving you the desire and power. So you begin to find that there's desires. I want to do this. And you think, and sometimes as Christians, we overthink this. We think, oh my goodness, I really desire this. I must die to this or something like that. Well, I mean, as long as it's not ungodly or something, obviously. But if there is a real desire, pay attention to that. That's God working in you to will and to do. He created you a new creation in Christ, but he also works in you as a new creation, giving you the desire. And so there's things that'll come back. And one of the things that I've found is repetition. When things just keep coming back and coming back, you think, is that just me or does God want me to do that? It's just like you can't get away from that thing. It just keeps coming back and coming back. Then it's time to turn aside. You know, Moses, the reason why he experienced the burning bush was because when he looked, he saw a burning bush and then he turned aside to see this great sight. And when he turned aside, then God called him. Sometimes there's desires and things that are in our hearts that God wants us to do, and he's just waiting for us to turn aside. Okay, what about this? Is that a project? Is that something to turn aside? He wants us to see something. He wants to drop that in our heart. And this is a powerful prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians that we can pray over our own lives too. He said, I pray the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. I like the way that's put. Light. Light is being turned on. And in his light, we see light. And that's a great thing to pray, because sometimes as you're praying, you know, revelation literally means to unveil. And if there's like a dramatic unveiling of a statue, you know, before they unveil the statue, a lot of times there's a drop cloth and you can kind of make a shape of what the statue is going to be. There's usually a buildup, so you already know ahead of time what it's going to be. But until that drop cloth comes off, it's vague. It's a form. It's a concept. It's an idea. But when the drop cloth comes off, then you see it crystal clear. It pops. It's clear. You know it. And that's kind of the way it is, as you're discerning those plans that God has for you. There's a concept. It's an idea. But as we begin to pray, as we begin to turn aside, as we begin to go after what we're just perceiving, that's when the Holy Spirit can illuminate your eyes with an imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. And that's a really cool thing when you begin to see it. And it's not like, hey, that's a cool idea. I wonder if God wants me. Hey, that is a God thing. That's what God wants me to do. Here we go. I see it. I see it. God wants us to move from something we see. We can see a form. It starts out as a form. But as we're praying, God gives us more light, more direction, more insight as far as to what that thing is. I kind of like to put it this way too, as far as you know, God working in you. A lot of times when God is working in you, you'll find that a lot of the things that you have a desire for are going to be things that you're going to, they're going to be things that once you see something in your spirit and you know it's a God thing, that God shows it, reveals it to you, there's a desire to do it. I mean, I remember when I was, you know, a teenager and got my first computer, writing video games or, you know, making video games. I told my dad, you don't have to get me a video game, Dad. Just get me a computer and I can make my own video games. And I thought that'd be the coolest thing in the world. So I remember as I'm getting I just do knockoffs of the video games that were going on back in the early 80s back then. Do my own versions of those. But it was so, and so I would just kind of, you know, create it. And then I remember one time it was like this whole, you know, amazing, you know, kind of this, you know, battle of good and evil and whatnot. But I was just so excited about it and I could see it. And I was just programming and programming. And I just programmed through the whole night. And I wasn't drinking caffeine or anything like that. I was just so excited. I was just so stirred by because of something I saw. And I wanted to keep going and going until I saw it. To what I saw on the inside, I could see on the outside. And that's kind of the way it works. He shows you something on the inside. And you keep doing it and keep doing it until what you see is what you see. And that's where, you know, Edison said something like, you know, invention is 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. That's kind of a funny little adage, but it captures something. It captures that desire to will and to do that's supernatural. That if you didn't have that working in you, you wouldn't waste your time with it. You'd entertain yourself with something else. But you see something. And so that changes everything. You see it. So when we're talking about the dream, seeing the dream, again, you don't have to convince everybody else. You just got to know in your own heart, I'm seeing something here. I know it. So it's great to have people on board with you, no doubt. But it's not required, as Joseph found out. He could still go forward. The main thing is that I'm getting settled on what this is, this thing that is in my heart. And so, and a lot of times too, like I said, when it is a God thing, there's kind of repetition. It just keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. There was an old movie that came out in the 70s called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And some of you who might have seen that remember it. The strange phenomena happened as this alien presence was going to come to Earth. All these people throughout the Earth kept getting the same vision of this mountain that these aliens were going to come back to. They kept getting it. This one guy was just tore up his whole living room to build this thing because it was just so clear in his heart. And I'm just going to say this on another level, because we're all getting our own individual revs and all that kind of stuff. But we got to understand that there is a universal connection between what we're doing, what you're doing, what I'm doing. There is something bigger at work. And we're all following the same Spirit. And we are ultimately going to be ushering back the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're doing kingdom work. We're all occupying till He comes. There's something powerful. And even though it might look different in terms of how that manifests, man, it's the same heart. It's the same heartbeat. That's why we want to be here for each other, to cheer each other on, and whatever that is or whatever that dream is. So there's a seeing the dream, but also there's a holding the dream. Now, again, we kind of left off Joseph, this happy-go-lucky guy, man, charmed life, everything just goes right for him, right? This would be a really fun story to see and read about. But as we know, a little bit of backstory, we see that, you know, when Joseph came, they were planning to kill him. They just hated him that bad. Well, what they ended up doing was they ended up throwing him in a well, and he was there, and they had to decide, are we going to kill him, or are we going to sell him and make some money, you know? And so Joseph, I mean, he's there. He's down in the well. All of a sudden, this beautiful, charmed life in a moment of time. His life is in jeopardy, in peril. And they decide to sell him. They sell him to some slave traders. So Joseph becomes a slave. Think, wow, all these dreams. And they're thinking, those aren't dreams. They're just visions of grandeur generated by your own ego. Take that. All right. So Joseph, he's in the pit, and he's crying out and thinking his brothers would help him. He is sold into slavery. He gets sold to a guy named Potiphar. But the thing of it is, you know, you hear the old adage, you can't keep a good man down. Well, you can't keep a man with the favor of God down either. And Joseph is just a man who keeps that walk with the Lord. He keeps that favor with God. So he's promoted, and he's favored in Pharaoh, in Potiphar's household. And you think, well, here we go. All right, good. Everything's going perfect for Joseph. Then so happens Potiphar's wife, attracted to him, makes advances toward him. He keeps his heart right, but he gets framed in a certain situation and accused wrongly and now thrown into jail by Potiphar's wife. And so now he went from having this great favor, okay, ha-ha, I can't keep me down, to getting back down again into the prison. And we're going to kind of pick it up there. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So here we go again. Now Joseph's getting that favor back. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Now this is similar to Potiphar, because when Joseph had that favor in Potiphar's house, Potiphar gave him access to his household in that same favor. And so whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So, you know, here we go again. Can't keep the good man down. Got the favor going. Now it came to pass on the third day, when it was Pharaoh's birthday for the feast for all of his servants, that he lifted up the... Okay, and one other... kind of backstory here too is that while they were in the prison, you had the butler and the baker, and these guys were in the prison, and Joseph had interpreted their dreams, and Joseph, you know, interpreted them correctly, and he told the butler to not forget him. But as we pick up the story, now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all of his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, which is what Joseph said would happen, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, here again, you see this life of Joseph. It's kind of these ups and downs and ups and downs, and my goodness, you know, he interpreted these dreams right, and he just had one little request for that butler, that he would just remember him. And the butler forgot him. As we look at this story of Joseph, it reminds me a little bit of what we were talking about last week, as far as that little birdie. That little birdie, you know, having this beautiful, charmed little life, and all of a sudden he experiences that vacuum cleaner experience. Gets sucked through the vacuum cleaner. He's dusted off, put back in the cage, but he doesn't sing anymore. All right, now here's a great opportunity for Joseph, because when you start out reading about Joseph, he's like that birdie in a cage. And Joseph has some serious vacuum cleaner experiences over and over and over and over again. But Joseph just keeps, he just keeps on singing. He just keeps, what are we talking about? Holding on to that dream. He's not getting bitter. He's not getting bitter. He's holding on. His trust and his hope is in God. He keeps his trust and his hope in God through this whole time. You know, when I look at this too, and you got to keep in mind, before when Joseph went from the pit that his brothers threw him in until he finally, you know, was in the place of his dreams being fulfilled, it was 13 years. 13 years of vacuum cleaner experiences that he went through. But there was something in him. It was like, you know, you kind of hear the story about, you know, a person was in prison, but the prison wasn't in him. It's like Joseph went through the vacuum cleaner. Joseph was in the vacuum cleaner, but the vacuum cleaner wasn't in him. You know, even as you're going through stuff, it's like he's keeping a posture to where even when he's falsely accused, he's sold as a slave and he just rises to the top. You know, he's going to the jail, he rises to the top. That's a picture of a guy who is not down in the dumps. That's a picture of a guy whose hope is still in God. That's a picture of a guy who still has a joy and a peace and a soundness of mind that's clearly seen on him. In other words, he's doing something that's keeping that song in his heart, that's keeping that dream in life. He's holding on to it. It's like you're holding on. You know, you go through stuff like this, and we can kind of translate his vacuum cleaner experiences to our vacuum cleaner experiences. But one of the things is you got to realize is it's like Joseph realized God's at work here. God's doing something. God's working in me. Here's a great scripture. I just kind of want to bring it to as far as holding on. It's something that you can see in Joseph. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you bow low in God's awesome presence, he will eventually exalt you as you leave the timing in his hands. Message. So be content with who you are. Don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time. In other words, as Joseph is fulfilling his dream, you know, a lot of us are very linear and we think, oh, no dream, no dream. Joseph wasn't just thinking, you know, straight line. He was just seeing beyond what his eyes could see, saying, God's at work here. God is somehow at work here. All I'm going to do is keep my heart right with God. When I just keep my heart right with God, it just works. Yeah, I'm sold as a slave, but I'm the top slave. Yeah, I'm in the jail, but I'm the top guy in the jail. He's seeing something here. He's realizing that no matter what he's going through, you know, there's something overcoming. Have you ever heard somebody, a successful person, have you ever heard their backstory and thought, wow, that's amazing. I don't know that I would have made it through that backstory. I mean, you think, you know, you got your family histories and issues and different things like that and going on, and you hear their backstory, and it's like, that's incredible. But you realize that there was something powerful at work, that they stuck with it, and they held on, and they went through, and they saw, and they persevered. And there was like, man, there is just something to that. There is something powerful about that. But this is so key to understanding why. And when you understand this, this will help us all get through vacuum cleaner experiences and the humbling and the jails and all this different kind of stuff. Because you see something going on here. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Bow low on God's awesome present. Leave the timing up to him. Content with what you are. Don't put on airs. He'll promote you at the right time. What's going on in us during those times? God's promoting us at the right time. There's a timing going on with the dream. It's a big dream. There's a lot going on with that dream. I remember too, you know, let me just kind of put it this way too. You know, you think of another, just kind of an example of timing, David and Goliath. David didn't fight Goliath. David fought Goliath at the right time. There was a time that David needed to be fighting lions and bears. And then once he fought the lions and bears, he was ready to fight Goliath. He knew something about God at that point. And a lot of times when you're going through things right now, and again, you can translate, you know, misunderstood, falsely accused, forgotten, all those different things like that. You can translate those into people and relationships and circumstances and situations and different things like that in your own life. But what are you doing at that point? Because I'll just say this personally. I have, in my years of preparation for ministry, and I'm talking about going back to Tulsa, going to Bible college, going through years of preparation before I ever came to Door of Life, I bunked into people. And I bunked into situations that just, tried me. And I thought, man, am I ever going to really be a pastor? Ever, really? Is this ever going to happen? Going through things and going through situations. And then later on in life, when God finally put me to a place, I realized as I came across things as being a pastor, battles that I'd already fought. Lions and bears. People that really should get under my skin and destroy me, but I've fought that before. What is it? You're promoted at the right time. In other words, as you're dealing with situations and whatnot, you're prepared for it. You're ready for it. But they provoked you, but they said this. Yeah, I know I had that happen about years before, and I've walked through that, and I've worked through that. In other words, as you're going through stuff right now, the dream isn't realized, there's things going, you're fighting lions and bears right now, is what I'm saying. Satan wants to exalt you now. Satan wants to exalt you out of due time. Why? Because ego. Because humanity, because flesh. That suffering long and being kind, when you're walking in love like that, my goodness, it's working a maturity in you so that when you are exalted, you can handle it and not get drawn off and not get pulled off. Holding on to that dream through the vacuum cleaner experiences and things like that doesn't mean the dream is gone. He's preparing you to walk in the fullness of that dream. So when you walk in that dream and that promotion comes and all of a sudden you have this temptation, you know, you've walked through it already. On some other levels. Not because you technically know it's there, but you've experienced it. You've experienced the situations and the people things and all that kind of stuff. And so there's going to be a holding on to the dream, knowing then that God is working in you. You know, the Apostle Paul put it this way: I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The Passion says, my heart spills over with thanks to God for the way he continually empowers me. And to our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, who found me trustworthy, who authorized me to be his partner in the ministry. So there is a trusting, there's a faithfulness, there's a trial time where your heart is getting proven and tried for that dream. It's preparing you for that dream. And to keep the dream, that just because you're going through it doesn't mean that God has forsaken you, but there is a preparing and something that's going on in you because of that. Here's a great little... These are called the paradoxical commandments, okay? And I think this represents the heart of a person who's holding on to a dream and realizing and seeing the big picture when they're going through trials and tribulations, seeing that God's at work. It goes like this, the paradoxical commandments. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help but may attack you. If you do help them, help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. What is this? This is the heart of a person who's decided, I'm doing what God has called me to do. I'm not backing off. I'm holding on to that dream. Because this is where your dream is tested. There's an enemy that doesn't want you to walk in that dream, doesn't want you to fulfill that dream. It's a discouraging. Those things are discouraging. What if you do it? What if you, because you're going to take risks. What if? Take the risk. Love people. Go for it. Do that thing that you know God has put in your heart anyway. That's kind of the heart, the attitude of a person who's walking, living for God. Finally, living the dream, okay? We see Joseph eventually here. It says Joseph is ultimately remembered. He's able to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh promotes him. He gets his day. And this is Pharaoh speaking. He says, you shall be over my house and over all my people. Shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride the second chariot, which he had. And he cried out before him, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So they set him over all the land of Egypt. So here we see Joseph. Finally, he is exalted in this place. Think about that place. It's Pharaoh, then Joseph. Now, we all like to think we all have good intentions. We would all use that great power wisely, having that kind of power. You know, 70% of people who win the lottery go bankrupt. That's what happens when you're exalted out of due season, you know. And we all like to believe the best, that what we would do and should do and all that. But I can tell you one thing, when Joseph got to that place, and temptations and people and how, Joseph, you're so great, you're so wise, you're amazing, look at that dream. I can tell you what, Joseph knew that he 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 knew where it came from. And he knew he was only there because God. And he knew it wasn't the butler that got him there. It wasn't because he knew a guy, the butler that got him there. It was just the Spirit of God that got him there. And the Spirit of God that is sustaining him there. And he's there and he's functioning there. And he's powerful there and he's impactful there. The dream isn't just about getting there. The dream is about doing what God has called you to do there. So you get there and praise God, you're ready for it. You're equipped. You've been through some things. You understand some things. And whether they were trying to play Joseph or whatever, when you know he's in that place of power and he's fought those lions and he's fought those bears before and he's functioning and he's doing it. And in the same way, his heart could still be right as a slave. It could still be right in the prison. It could still be right as second in the land. That training his heart to keep God first place no matter what. He learned that as he was holding on to his dream. And then when the dream came into fruition, he was able to be accurate and powerful and all out when God promoted him to that place. He was living the dream. Well, of course, as the story goes on, you know, the wisdom that he gave Pharaoh was that there's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. He said, look, during the years of plenty, store it up. So when the years of famine hit, you're going to have leftover. And you'll be able to live off that. And so they did according to Joseph's word. Of course, it came to pass. And during that time of famine, Joseph's family, his father and his brothers, were also starving. So they ended up coming to Egypt to buy the grain. There was a different series of events that happened there. But ultimately, they ended up bowing down to Joseph because they needed to buy grain from him to be able to survive. So those dreams really actually came to pass and were fulfilled, but his brothers didn't even recognize him. So as it happened here, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So you got Joseph, his brothers, and then all of his guards and his entourage, and he told all of his entourage to go. He just wanted to be there with his brothers. Again, his brothers didn't know who he was. Make everyone go out for me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers couldn't answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. So they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Wow. This guy's a big guy. Joseph's a big man on the inside. It's full of forgiveness. It's full of seeing the hand of the Lord on his life. And it's reconciliation. There's healing. But isn't it an amazing thing how that dream ultimately ended up coming back? And the very people that were critical of his dream were the people that came back and were ministered to him because of that dream. But Joseph kept it. He kept his heart there. He kept his heart in that right place with God to where he didn't allow anything to steal that dream from his heart. There was years ago, there was a group of ministers that wanted to have a revival meeting. And they were talking about bringing in D.L. Moody. And they were really, just really excited. You know, just felt like this was who they needed to bring in. And one of the ministers was kind of frustrated and says, you know, why do we have to bring in D.L. Moody? Does D.L. Moody have a monopoly on God? You know, can we bring in somebody else? And one of the, you know, one of the other ministers kind of respectfully stood up and said, it's not that we think D.L. Moody has a monopoly on God, but because of the fruit of Moody's ministry at the time, the impact that he was having. He said, it seems that that God has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. In other words, he just had his heart, and it was coming out, and it was so clear. And that's kind of the question. When you look at Joseph, God had a monopoly on Joseph. All the hotels, all the property was God's stuff. He was just all in to be able to do that. You know, and when it comes to, you know, living the dream, that's the heart. It's like, God, okay, you have a monopoly on me. A lot of things, the things that slow down our dreams are the things that we're holding back, the relationships. You know, a lot of times we think, you know, it's these people, these relationships, these series. Yeah, sometimes it is people that can do things or say things, but sometimes it's just in your own head. Sometimes it's just your own insecurities, powers, principalities, different invisible things that are wrestling against you, not people. It can just be something you're having to deal with and having to overcome and things like that. But when God has a monopoly, that's where I'm just going to fill it with God. I'm going to be filled with the light of God. I'm going to see something. I'm going to see something. I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to live it out. This is a song that came out several years ago, just a little excerpt. It's called, by Darlene Check, called Kiss of Heaven. It says, my Jesus dream maker, my Jesus life giver, I'm living under the kiss of heaven, and I'll never be the same again. I'm singing a new song in the presence of my King, giving you my heart. That is all that I can bring. You lit a fire inside of me that I thought would never burn again. My Jesus, dream maker, my Jesus, life giver, I'm living under the kiss of heaven, and I'll never be the same again. I thank you, my Father, for all you've done and for all you're going to do. My past behind me, you before me, I press on for more. I'm living under the kiss of heaven, and I'll never be the same again. My Jesus, dream maker. Praise God. So, there is one other scripture in Acts. This is the prophecy. Shall come to pass in those last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. This is talking ultimately, whether you want to talk about visions, prophecy, dreams, it's supernatural communication by the Spirit of God, all flesh, to see, to reveal something. Whether it's revelation through prophecy, visions, dreams, your all flesh is seeing something supernaturally by the Spirit in these last days. That's where we're living as new creations in Christ Jesus. That's where we're living as his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So here comes the dreamer. It should be me and you. You may be just getting the dream. You may be holding on to the dream. You may be promoted into that dream, whatever it is. And of course, it's not just like a one thing. There's multifacets to this. There's some things you are walking in. There's other things that you know are out ahead of you. But to realize and recognize that there is a process, there's a godly pattern that we've been given and see in the life of Joseph, that God is going to give us a dream. We're going to see something. We're going to see something. And the ultimate thing that you know is that it's bearing witness with your spirit. You're seeing something. And God will keep bringing it back. Joseph didn't just have one dream. He had multiple dreams. And that's kind of the way it is. God will just reveal. He'll keep coming back and keep coming back because those things are true. And those things will keep resounding true. Not only that, but when you see something, there's going to be a holding on to that dream. And a lot of times there's going to be a preparation. You may be functioning at a level of the dream, you know, but there's preparation. There's stuff that's going in your heart. And what was the ultimate thing that Joseph was doing? He was just keeping his heart toward God, toward God. It wasn't like he was becoming master, expert, ruler. It was heart stuff that he was kept going toward God, toward God, toward God. So that when he got exalted in that, he got exalted in due time, promoted in due time, his heart was just ready. The patterns was of his heart responding to God were just there. And he was living the dream, walking in the fullness of it. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that there is a dream that you've put on the inside of us, that we are your workmanship. We've been created in Christ for good dreams that you've ordained us to walk in. And I just pray right now for each one of us here this morning, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that they would be flooded with light, that we would begin to see, that the drop cloths would begin to come off those forms and images and perceptions that we kind of know are there. We pray, Father, for clarity, understanding. Show us those steps of faith that we can take to turn aside and see and follow through on these things, these good works that you are working in us to will and to do. Lord, we just pray, Father, that you'll make those things clear in our heart. Lord, we just pray, too, that as we're doing that, as we're walking toward you, as we're holding on to that dream, that you will just work in our hearts deeply, too. That we will lay aside any weights or sins that would beset us, that would be ankle weights, that would cause us to miss out on the fullness of what you're causing us to do, to lay those aside in these times. That we have full traction in our heart. That when it comes time to say, okay, it's time. Here it is. Here's the opportunity. We're ready. Not just there, but wholehearted ready. All in, Father God, to do what you called us to do. We recognize your hand at work now. Even as we're having to walk in love toward that person right now, we know we're going to see that person again in our future. Not that specific person, but we know we're going to deal with that same thing in our future. And when we're there and we're living the dream, we'll have already been there, already done that, already fought that lion, already fought that bear, and have the confidence that we can do whatever you want us to do. Help us to recognize, like Joseph did, that these things are just preparing us for that promotion. They're preparing us for that due time exaltation, Father. I thank you for it. I thank you for the dreams that are represented here this morning. The precious dreams in these hearts this morning. The dreams in these hearts represent the vision of Door of Life Christian Church. Who we are as a church. Why we are here as a church is for these dreams to come to pass. And we thank you for it, Father God. We thank you for ministering to each one now by the power of your Spirit and making those dreams real and clear. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, be encouraged this morning. You know, dreams are such a powerful thing. And when I think of Joseph, too, it is such a powerful reminder, too, to think that it was 13 years from the time that his brothers threw him in that pit to the Pharaoh finally promoting him. It's an amazing thing to realize, but those were really just powerful preparation years so that when Joseph was there, praise God, he was ready for it. So, and we're believing God, like I said, and just prayed. The vision of Door of Life Christian Church is just that. It's not a building or program, or any building or program we have is a means to an end of you walking out and fulfilling those God-given purposes, desires, and dreams that he's put on the inside of you. Praise God. You know, 17 years ago today, March 31st, 2002, Door of Life was born. We're 17 years old today. And praise God. And why we're here is just that. We're here to help facilitate to get what's in your heart out. Because there is no greater job satisfaction than doing what God has called you to do. And that day hearing, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your life.